It sounds like somebody's team won the eternal Super Bowl up in here. Because if your team wins the Super Bowl, you're shouting and acting crazy. It's your team, but you're not getting a ring. You ain't getting no money. But y'all shouting like y'all on the winning side up in here. And let me tell you something. My pastor who just led us in worship today, you couldn't tell that she had appendectomy surgery about 2.5 weeks ago. I think God is a healer, is he not? Wow. As you're turning in your Bibles to John chapter 20, I'd like to welcome all of our guests, first time guests who are here, those watching online. Praise God. I also want to thank everyone who came out Friday night for Good Friday. And the women were there. My God. So blessed by our ladies who stood in the gap and ministered so mightily. They took time studying, doing not only biblical research, but historical research. They honored their master very well. And we got to sit at their feet and feed on the word of God and the things of God. I want to thank God for Koinonia Fellowship as they came out. Pastor Micah Edmondson and his wife Christina, they came. And also Strong Tower Bible Church Franklin, Pastor Walter and Sister Jessica came with their congregation. Just a good time. And now, today I get to put the exclamation point on the weekend. But before we do that, we're here to make disciples of Jesus. That's the mission of this church. We make disciples by being a Bible-based, multi-dimensional fellowship of believers. And one of the ways we do that is through midweek Bible study. And we call that Gather and Grow. We come together, we converse and communicate, we have community, and we go out to try to make a difference. We gather and we grow. And for the next 3 weeks, beginning on this Wednesday, we're going to look at discipleship. But we're going to look at discipleship through the movie Sister Act 2. Okay? So if you've never watched Sister Act 2, watch it. And for 3 weeks, we're going to talk about discipleship according to Sister Act 2. All right, we're going to have fun. We just came out of the book of Jonah. Now we're going to do this. So if you're not familiar with it, again, check the movie out. There is redemption in art. There is redemption in film. So we're going to look at the redemptive aspects, the kingdom aspects that's found in a movie. So we're going to have fun. So make sure you join us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, how precious is the name of Jesus. For salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. And that is the name Jesus, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Father, if there's someone here today who's never made the call, who's never cried out and say, Lord, be merciful to me. I am a sinner and I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. I want to be forgiven. I want to be adopted into your family. Oh God, come into my life and take over. Lord, at the end of this message, there'll be an altar call, but we don't have to wait for that. When Peter went to Cornelius' house and he just shared the gospel, they received you as he was speaking, and the Holy Spirit fell in that living room. Lord, may those who don't know you reach out to you right now with their heart and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I believe that Jesus loves me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my stuff, my junk, my sins. And I believe he rose from the grave. I place my trust in him. Oh, if you've prayed that prayer with me, come up to me afterwards and just shake my hand and say, Pastor, today was my day. Just shake my hand and let me know. Now, Lord, as we get into your word, may your word get into us. Change us, not just for the moment, but for life, for good. Do an adjustment, an alignment to each and every one of us today, because your word is going out. And you said, let God be true and every man a liar. Speak, Lord. The resurrection is not only a historical fact. The resurrection is not only a biblical truth. The resurrection of Jesus is a personal, life-changing, game-changing moment in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now show us Jesus from the text so that people may see Jesus and how we live. For I pray this in his mighty and matchless name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll begin reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and then I'll go to verse 10. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. If you don't have your Bible, the text will be on the screen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And she said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. Verse 10, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. My focus today comes from verse 17 when Jesus said, do not hold on to me. So today I'm going to preach a message entitled, hold on. Hold on. Hold on to the one who is holding on to you. Hold on to the God whose grip is greater than your grip. We all at times lose our grip. We lose our hold on God. But God never loses his grip or his hold on us. But I want you to put yourself in Mary Magdalene's sandals this morning. Go back with me in your spiritual imagination. Go back with me as Janetta read the passage about the ladies going to the tomb as Pastor Jewel read the passage about what happened early on that Sunday morning. Go back with me and put yourself in Mary Magdalene's sandals. What do you do when the man who saved you, delivered you from 7 demons, has been arrested, falsely tried, beaten to a pulp, crucified, and dies before your very eyes? And his death is violent, public, and unjust. What do you do when the one who walked with you, not just with the men, but also with the women, because Mary was one of the ones who helped finance the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. What do you do when the man who changed your life is dead and gone, and the way that he died, again, was extremely barbaric and horrific? What do you do when you're going to the tomb to rewrap his body the right way, because they hastily took his body down and the men wrapped it as best they could, but she watched where they placed him so that she could go in the morning with the other ladies to rewrap the body? What do you do? What do you do when the one who was there for you is not there for you now? And what do you do? Well, you want to be there for him. You want to show up for him. And you want to see his body. And you want to even hold his dead body. Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb. And when she is surprised, thinking that she's talking to the gardener, and then realizes she's talking to the Son of God, her Savior, the Bible doesn't say what happens between verses 16 and 17 when she says, "Rabbi," and then verse 17 when Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." What is not stated here is that after she cried, "Rabbi," she went and grabbed him. She went and held him. And she clutched the Lord in such a way that the Lord had to tell her, "Don't hold on to me." So I just got two questions from this text today. The first question is, why did Mary hold on to Jesus like this? Why did Mary hold on to Jesus? Well, I believe she held on to him, number one, because she loved him. You do know when you love people, you want to hug them. You want to hold them. You want to be with them. And so she held him because she loved him, and her devotion was undeniable. Her commitment was unquestionable because she was there at the cross when all of the disciples had fled when Jesus was arrested. But John eventually came back and he stood next to Jesus's mother so that Jesus could address him from the cross. But before he was there, he was gone, nowhere to be found. But the women were holding it down at the cross. She loved him. She was not only one of the first at the cross, she was the first at the empty tomb. And she was the first to see him resurrected. Mark chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Can you stop and pause again and just put yourself in those sandals? Of all the people that Jesus could have appeared to in his resurrected state for the first time, of all the people, he appeared to a woman that he delivered from 7 demons. Stop and pause. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that she was a prostitute. So stop lying on the sister. You don't like it when folk lie on you, so don't lie on her. We know enough of her story to know that she needed Jesus, and she found him. And that's everybody's story in here. As Elder Aubrey led us during communion, man, we were lost on our way to hell. We needed a Savior, didn't even know it, but Jesus. So we all have a testimony for those who know the Lord. And so there she is. She is the one that the Lord appears to first. God gives this honor and distinction to a woman. And as we heard Friday night from the sisters who preached behind this pulpit, women in that culture weren't seen as equals to men. Women in that culture did not have the kind of authority that would hold up in courts. Women were treated as second-class citizens, and based upon how some Jewish men read the Ten Commandments, they would put women down there with oxen and donkeys. They would put women down as property. But Jesus came, and he had a way of bringing dignity to the ones that the world treated in an undignified manner. He had a way of bringing in the last and making them first and including the people, as we heard Sunday, who are on the margins and bringing them close and giving them honor, giving them distinction. You see, Jesus could have knocked on Pilate's door when he got up from the dead and let Pilate know when Pilate was saying, "What is truth?" He didn't know he was looking truth personified in the face when he was being disrespectful. Jesus could have knocked on Pilate's door. Better yet, he could have just walked through the door. But he didn't go there. He could have went to the 11 disciples first, but he didn't go there in his resurrected body. Not first. He could have gone to Peter, his right-hand man, first, but he didn't. He could have gone to John, the beloved disciple, first, but he didn't. He could have gone to Caiaphas and the high priest and all the religious establishment, those people who were part of a syndicate, a cartel of wickedness. He could have gone to them first to say, "Ha, I told y'all, I'm the one." But he didn't do that. Even in his glory, he did not boast. He did not have anything to prove, but he went to a woman first. You know why? Because she was coming to him. None of the people I mentioned were coming to the tomb, but she and the other ladies were coming. And the Bible says somewhere, when you seek, you will what? Find. That God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's some things in life we get from God, the secret treasures the Bible talks about, because we have the audacity to seek him out. When the world and our circumstances are telling us not to seek him, not to press towards him, we press. Like the woman with the issue of blood, went to every doctor in town. They couldn't help her. Took all of her money. She got no better. But she heard that Jesus was coming, and in the crowd of people, she reached out and grabbed his garment. And the Bible says Jesus stopped where he was, and he says, "Some power then went out of me." So somebody got a hold of me. And when the power went out of him into her body, she was healed instantaneously of her sickness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do it right now. He has done it. I've seen him heal just like that. And then he says, "Who touched me?" Now, when he asked the question, he already knows the answer, but he's asking the question so that everybody else can see what's going on in this moment, that he's about to honor this woman in the midst of this crowd. Again, a place where women don't get honored. She came forward and said, "I was the one who touched you." Jesus has a way of including and being intentional to bring those to the table who are often excluded from the table. And so she loved him because he first loved her. Another thing about her, man, is that she was happy to see him. That's why she grabbed him. She was happy to see him. She hadn't seen him in 3 days. She was happy to see him. The last time she saw Jesus, he was beaten beyond recognition. That's what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, that his countenance was marred more than any other human had been wounded and marred. So he was disfigured the way they beat him. And so the last time she saw him, he was beyond recognition, and now he isn't bludgeoned anymore. Now his body isn't broken anymore. He's not bleeding anymore. Yes, he has in his body the marks of our redemption, but he doesn't look like the last time she saw him. And so she's just happy, so happy to see him. Have you ever been to the airport? And these days, after 9/11, you just can't walk down to the terminals anymore. So you've got to meet people behind a particular area and wait for them because security won't let you go past the guardrails. And there'll be people waiting to see folk they haven't seen in a long time, sons and daughters who may have gone off into military service or missionaries from around the world, people who work in other states and they're coming home, whatever the case may be, and they're out there with signs and they're so happy and they don't care who's watching. They don't care who's looking because all they want to do is see the person that they haven't seen in a long time. And they're expressing public affection towards them because they're happy to see him. Then I believe she was holding on to Jesus, not only because she loved him and she was happy to see him, but I believe she held on to Jesus because she wanted to protect him. Don't play with the sisters. Sisters will take you out, take you down. Don't mess with the sisters. She didn't want any more harm to come to him. Remember now, she thought he was dead. She was coming to take care of his body. She wanted to protect him and wrap him the right way with the other ladies. She was willing, according to what we just read, when the body was gone, she's thinking the gardener came and took the body away. And listen to her motivation, listen to her courage, listen to her strength and tenacity. She said, "You show me where he is, and I will go get him." Sis, how you gonna pick a grown man up in his 30s? Huh? But she's not thinking about that. She's like, where there's a will, there's a way. This morning, my wife says something to me as we're just discussing the word. And she says, I love how these women were, their mindset. They were going to the tomb, not knowing how the stone was going to be rolled away. They figured when we get there, like a lot of women who have ingenuity, we'll figure it out when we get there, how to move this 2-ton stone out the way. But I'm going. A lot of us sit back and say, well, I'm not going because I don't know how we're going to roll that stone away. You're going to miss your blessing. You think too much. You're leaning on your own understanding. Where's your faith? Where's your determination? Sometimes you got to get moving and God will start moving on your behalf. Pastor, you lying. When Moses had to part the Red Sea. No, let me back it up. I'm going to go somewhere else. When Moses had to part the Red Sea, God says start walking towards the sea. He didn't part it, and then they walked. They started walking, then he parted it. Crossing the Jordan River. How are we going to get across it in flood stage? Put your feet in there first and watch me do the miracle. But a lot of us would have never crossed the Jordan because we're thinking about it too much. It just doesn't add up. Put my feet in. How's that going to stop the water? Start walking towards the Red Sea. That's why you're not in your blessing and in your miracle right now. But those sisters said, I'm going because faith pleases God. Not my reason. My faith pleases God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it somehow. She says, I'll get his body. I'll bring him back over here. Oh, she wanted to protect him. But also she held on to Jesus because she didn't want him to leave her again. Now, last time I let you go, I saw what they did to you. This time, yeah, I'm protecting you, and I'm not letting you go. You're not leaving out of my sight. And she's holding on to him. And he has to say, you got to let me go, though. You got to let me go, which goes into the second question, because when I read the Bible, the way that I strive to have understanding is that I ask questions of the Bible. I don't try to go on to the deep stuff. No, you are in the deep stuff. So why did she hold on to him? She loved him. She was happy to see him. She wanted to protect him. She didn't want him to leave her again. Well, why in the world would Jesus put water on her fire when he said in verse 17, do not hold on to me? Why did he say that to her? Well, number one, the text says, he says, I have not yet ascended to the Father. So in other words, I've got something to do. You can't hold me. You can't keep me here. You cannot detain me. I know you're happy. I know you're excited, and you should be. But you can't hold me in this moment. Why? Because I've got more work to do. My mission, which is not complete, it involves you. But it ain't all about you. She's holding on to him for dear life, but she doesn't realize that this thing is much bigger than her. So watch it here in the West when we say Jesus is my personal Savior, as if Jesus isn't anyone else's personal Savior. Because in America, where we center ourselves, we think that God is only hanging out in our church and in our denomination and with our people and with the people who vote like us and make money like us. We think that God is segregated in his love. So be careful of just overly emphasizing the personal when much of the letters written to the church was written to a body, a group of believers. Yeah, he did something in me, but he's also doing something in us. And us is different. We are one, but we are not the same. So we can celebrate our differences because he's touched us where we are. He says, I've not yet ascended to my Father. My work is not complete yet. So you can't hold on to me. It's not just about you. But another reason he told Mary not to hold on to him, he had more appearances to make. I can't make these appearances with you holding on to me. I got to go see the 11 now. I'm going to go see them. Yeah, I want you to go talk to them. And I'm giving you a word, my sister, to go and tell the brothers to meet me in Galilee and that you've seen the Lord. I've empowered you to be the first person, the first human to proclaim the gospel that I have risen from the dead. So I'm giving you another distinction, my sister. So sisters in here, this is for free. For people who say that you can't preach, for people who say that God doesn't call women to be pastors, for people who say you can't do that, you tell them, Jesus called me to go and tell, to go and preach, just like he did Mary and the other sisters. And if you got a problem with my calling, take it up with the one who called me. So he's like, yeah. I got to appear to the 11. I got to appear to the other women. I got to appear to the two on the road to Emmaus. I got to appear to my brother James. And then the 500 brothers at once on the mountain before I ascend, I've got some more appearances to make. And as cool as we are, I can't make those appearances with you holding on to me. He told her, not only do I have work to do, I've not yet ascended to my Father. I've got appearances to make. He told her she had some work to do as well. Verse 17, he says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So he says, you got some work to do. You've got to go and tell some people. But what's implied here? There's something better implied here in the text. When he says, don't hold on to me, it sounds negative at first. It sounds like, again, he's trying to slow her roll, stop her passion and excitement. But really, something better is being implied with what Jesus said. In a sense, he's saying, Mary, you can't hold on to me now. Like, just keep holding on to me now. But you will be able to hold on to me again after I ascend to my Father. Stick with me now. This is going from more of a metaphysical to a spiritual approach here. He's saying, when I ascend, your hold on me will be different. Right now, you're holding me in the physical, but after I have ascended to my Father, your hold on me will be different. It will be spiritual. And it will be better than this moment right here, right now. Pastor, why would a spiritual hold on Christ be better than a physical hold on Christ? Well, in his physical, resurrected body, Jesus could not be everywhere all the time with everybody. Any theologians here? Anybody want to study the Bible? You see, when Jesus, who was God from eternity past, there was not a time when Jesus began. He always was. He always is. He's the I am. Had some Jehovah's Witness knock on my door yesterday. They didn't catch me at a good time, and I don't have a lot of patience for people who want to rob and redefine Jesus and put him in a box that's man-made, that's really rooted in religiosity and works-based performance and all that mess, that they want to say that Jesus was created by Jehovah and then he turned around and created everything. When they knocked on my door, I didn't have a lot of conversation. They want to talk to me about anxiety. That was their slick way. What do you do when you're anxious? I said, well, I pray to Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's what I do. The eternal Son of the living God. And y'all go ahead and put a note in y'all's book. Don't come by this house no more. Because I ain't playing games. You've never seen anybody go to heaven from a debate. We can plant seeds. But they're not changing, and I'm not changing, and I don't have time to waste because I got to get ready to come up in here on Easter Sunday. So y'all got to go. So when Jesus became human, the Bible says that he emptied himself. He limited the full expression of his deity. The one who is omnipresent, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And before the Word became flesh, God is spirit. So Jesus was everywhere all the time at the same time, omnipresent. We're not even talking about omniscience and omnipotence right now. But when he became human, he was limited in a body and a condition to time and space. So even in his resurrected body, he couldn't be in more places at once. He could only be in one place at one time. But once in heaven, Jesus can be held by anyone at any time, in any place, going through anything. I'm going to say it again. But once in heaven, Jesus can be held by anyone at any time, in any place, going through anything. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And he will not only be with you, Jesus said, he will be in you. So Jesus is saying, my presence will be with everyone at any time going through anything because I've ascended and I poured out my spirit, the spirit of Christ, who will be with you and in you and for you. Let me break it down like this. Mary got a hold of the Lord. I need the Lord at my house at midnight. Because we're going through something at my house. But he can't come to my house in his physical resurrected body because he at your house. And by the time he get to my house might not be standing, be some furniture moving. So all kind of stuff going on in there now. I need him right now, late in the midnight hour. I'm calling on the Lord, but he at your house with y'all. No! So there's an advantage that I have him anytime, in any place, going through anything. So what this tells me is, before you call your pastor, because a lot of y'all get upset thinking I'm omnipresent. No, I can only be in one place and I'm hanging with brother so-and-so right now. My wife and I with sister so-and-so. We're at the hospital over here. We can't be over here. We can't go over there. And you get mad because we're past that. Where Jesus at? He with you? Call on him, because that's all I'm going to do when I get there. I'm going to call on him. And because you are a priest in the body of Christ, you don't need me to get through to him. You can get through to him yourself. It's an advantage, man. But watch this, though. After holding on to Jesus, Mary obeyed him. Pastor, what's happening? In verse 18, he says, It says, rather, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She did that because he told her to do it. She did that because he told her to do it. She was holding on to him, and she heard what he said. And she proved that she heard what she said by doing what he said. If you're going to hold on to Jesus, the proof is that we hear him and that we do what he said. Don't say you're holding on to him. No, I love him. But your life doesn't show obedience to the fact that you have heard him and that you're doing what he said. Blessed are you if you hear these things and do them, Jesus said. So if you're not doing what he said, either you're not hearing what he said or you ain't holding on to him like you think you're holding on to him. Because if you hold on to him, you're going to hear him and you're going to do what he says. So she got up and went. Even though she had never seen it done before, she did it because he said it. Let me take it home. We asked and answered two questions, I hope. Why did Mary hold on to Jesus? Why did Jesus tell Mary not to hold on to him? Why did she hold on to him? She held on to him because she loved him. She was happy to see him. She wanted to protect him, and she didn't want him to leave her again. Man, I dig Mary. But why did Jesus tell her not to hold on to him? Because he had not yet ascended to the Father. There were more appearances for him to make, and she had work to do. Because you know how a lot of times we just want to go to church and get high in the spirit, but don't want to get out and do anything. But somewhere I read that the Bible talks about you shall worship and serve God. We got a lot of people that just want to hold on and hold on. Oh, I bless, hold on. Thank you. Oh, oh. But when we look up for serving, you already at home. When we need help, when we're asking for folks to give out of gratitude, you're not giving, you're not serving, you're not loving on God, but you're holding on to him though. Man, there's a problem there somewhere. But he also implied something was better to her, that holding on to me right now has limitations. But when I ascend and I send the Spirit, you can hold on to me through the Spirit at any time, any place, going through anything. So there is no excuse for any of us, because the Bible says, let us have communion with the Holy Spirit. When we touch the Spirit, we're touching Jesus and vice versa. But watch this. Although Jesus told Mary to stop holding on to him, he will never tell us to do that. So what he said to her right there was a one and done. Don't hold on to me. He'll never say that to any of us. In fact, he encourages us to hold on to him. Paul put it this way in Philippians 3:12. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Translation, I want to hold on to him the way he's holding on to me. Because he said in verse 10, that I may know him. And the way you know him is by holding on to him, but also walking through the fellowship of sufferings and recognizing the power of the resurrection. I wouldn't know the power of the resurrection if I wasn't going through some suffering. But when we're suffering, we complain. But God is saying, this is an opportunity for my spirit to show up. And Paul says, I'm pressing on to hold him the way he's holding me. And as I said earlier, yes, I want to hold him, but my grip slips. And I have to trust in the one whose grip is greater and who's holding on to me when I'm not holding on to him. Because Jesus knows the more we hold on to him, the more he rubs off on us. You ever hug somebody that's got on loud perfume? Anybody been? And you hug them, even shake their hand. Go home, and their smell is still with you. And if it's a smell that you don't like, you're like irritated. But if it's a nice cologne, like the one I have on now, and you hug them. And it brings back memories. Yeah. Jesus says we are the aroma of Christ. And when we hug him, he rubs off on us. In Acts chapter 4, when the apostles had been arrested, The religious establishment looked at them and said, they've been with Jesus. Something about that. They've been with Jesus. They smell like the Lord. I see Jesus rubbing off on them. So when you hold on to him, he rubs off. Jesus knows the more we hold on to him, the less we'll hold on to things that can't help us. Don't we hold on to stuff? Don't we hold on to people we shouldn't be holding on to? And we make idols out of things, and we stress and we strain. We hold on to them bills so tight. And when the last time we done held on to the Lord in prayer and in worship? He says, hold on to me. Jesus knows the more we hold on to him, the less we'll hold on to things that cannot help us and cannot heal us. He knows the more we hold on to him, the more we'll feel his hold on to us. And he knows the more we hold on to him and our clothes, the more we will anticipate his return. It's good to shout on Easter, but can you shout on Thursday? Can you shout in the hospital? Can you remember the power of the resurrection when the bills are due? And when you hold on to him like that and you fellowship with him, you know that the story is not over because he said he was coming again. We don't talk about that a lot in the Western church because we have so many niceties to comfort us. But he said, I'm coming again. Matter of fact, in Revelation 3:11, he said, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have. What do I have? Me. Hold on to me that no one may take your crown. Hold on is what Jesus is saying. I'm coming. So the resurrection, because he said when he gave the communion, the Last Supper, he says, I won't drink this with you again until we're in the kingdom, the new kingdom. So anticipate not only my resurrection, Strong Tower, but my return. And if he didn't lie about his resurrection, he didn't lie about his return. He is coming again. And we're to hold on because he's coming. Well, just 3 hours down the road in Memphis, Tennessee, Stax Records was born. Memphis, Tennessee, Stax Records. And Isaac Hayes and David Porter wrote an iconic song in 1966 for a duo called Sam and Dave. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Others of y'all like, I'm ready to go look for Easter eggs. Hold on. And Sam and Dave had some hits, man. They had one called Soul Man. I'm a soul man. But then they had this other one called Hold On, I'm Coming. Hold On, I'm Coming. And here's what Isaac Hayes wrote in those lyrics. It says, don't you ever feel sad. Lean on me when times are bad. When that day comes and you're down in a river of trouble and about to drown, hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. And if a man can sing like that to a woman, talking about I'm coming. Bruh, you ain't always coming when you say you're coming, but when the Lord say, he's coming. He's coming. So I just want to encourage you today, hold on to the one who's holding on to you. Hold on to the risen Christ who says, I am coming. Well, if there's someone here today who doesn't know the one who's coming, as I mentioned earlier, the prayer of faith, Jesus be my Savior. If there's someone here today and you don't have a church home and you say, man, I think this is the spot. In a moment, I'm going to open up the doors of the church and I'm going to ask you to come forward as a sign, as a statement that, man, for such a time as this, I believe this is my church home. Come on. There may be somebody here who said, you know what, Pastor, man, I need to pray and recommit my life. My hold has really been off. My grip, man, I've turned, I've wandered, I've strayed, and I need to rededicate my commitment to Jesus. And all he's going to say is, do you love me more than these? Whatever you're holding on to more than him, do you love me more than these? You say, yes, Lord, I love you. And I repent. Would everyone stand to your feet right now, please? Stand to your feet. As the worship team comes back up, we're going to close with Oh Happy Day. Because it is a happy day. But there may be somebody here today who, this is your happy day. When I open up the altar, and you want to meet Jesus, come on. You may say, oh, happy day, this is my church. Come on. Oh, happy day, Lord, I just need to pray and say, Lord, I mean it. I'm on business today. I'm sorry, Lord. Nobody's going to know why you're coming. That's between you and Jesus. But if he's nudging you to come, obey the Spirit and come on. The doors of the church are open. Come on, y'all. Come on. You're looking for a church home and this is it. Come on. You want to meet Jesus? Come on. You want to rededicate? Come on. Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on now. This is church home. I want to know Jesus. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, y'all. Give it up. Come on. Come on. Hey, Sean. I love you, Sean. Anybody else? Come on, you need to pray. Come on, you need some encouragement. Come on now. Let's go. It's Super Bowl Sunday now. Who else? Who else? Come on, let's go. Let's go. I want to be a part of this church. I know they jacked up, but I believe Jesus is here. Come on! Let's make it official today. Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing some baptisms coming up. We're going to be doing some baptisms. Come on, y'all, come on. It's Resurrection Day. Don't stay in your seat. You're going to regret it. If the Holy Spirit is moving, let's go. Move with the Holy Spirit. Move with the Holy Spirit. Move with him. Yeah. Let's pray and thank God. God, I don't know the hearts of your people, but you do. You know what they have need of before they even ask. You created them in your image. And in your likeness, you've given them value, honor, and dignity. Again, God, I don't know, but you're the one who searches the hearts. So would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Where they have questions, Lord, might you send the right people to help them with the answers? We are here for them. We are here to pray with them, pray over them, to share the word with them, to baptize them, to welcome them to this church. And it's only because you got up. It's only because you died and you got up. So thank you for their obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for your obedience, amen. And let us know. I'll be hanging around here. Let me know how we can serve y'all, all right? Y'all ready to close with a song? Oh, happy day. When Jesus did what? Wait a minute, I heard three people over here. Oh, happy day when Jesus what? Wash my sins away. Let's sing like we've been washed. Let's go!